turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1 at this time. We do pause and pray, Father, that our hearts would be really receptive and our minds would be clear. And that we might, Father, have ears to hear what you would say to the church, to us today. Thank you for hearing this prayer, Father. Thank you for your faithfulness in instructing and illuminating. We ask this with expectancy in our hearts, and we ask this for the exalting of your Son in our lives. It's in His name we pray, Father. Amen. Amen. James chapter 1. We read in verse 5 of James 1. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But, verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. His father had passed away. His father was greatly loved. His father was mightily used. His father would be sorely missed. His father, you see, was one of the greatest men in all of history. His father was a man that could physically leap over walls. His father was a man who was tender of heart and was musical in nature. His father would write songs, and not only write songs and sing them beautifully, but he would invent instruments to play the songs that he had written in a unique and creative way, you see. But not only was he a musician, but he was also a warrior who was very capable in battle, courageous of heart. In fact, this man actually took on a giant when he was but a lad, a teenager. So together was he that women made up songs and sang about him in the streets. Man, he had a high degree of popularity. The man I'm speaking of who passed away, of course, is David. David. And now, gone from the scene, Solomon would step up and try and fill his shoes. What an awesome responsibility. What a seemingly impossible task to try and move into that position that was held by David. Solomon knew the situation. We are told then in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 that Solomon, when his dad had died, when he knew now the responsibility was given to him to rule and to reign over the kingdom, he went to a little town 7 miles outside of Jerusalem called Gibeon. He went there, you see, for a tabernacle was erected in Gibeon, a place to meet the Lord. And young Solomon said, man, I need help. I need help. And so he went that day to Gibeon, and he sought the Lord. And it says the Lord met him. In fact, that night the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Solomon, whatever you ask of me, I'll do for you. Now, can you imagine God coming to you and saying, whatever you want, that's what I'll do? What would you say? I'm afraid of what I would say. Man, if the Lord came to me and asked, what do you want? I'll do anything. Reminds me of that classic story. The guy walks along the beach. He sees sticking out of the sand the top of a bottle. He reaches down. He pulls it up. He begins to dust off the sand. And as he dusts off the sand, suddenly, poof, a genie appears. And the genie says, Master, your wish is my command. You have three wishes. Anything you want, that's what I'll do. Really? Well, he said, my first wish then would be to have a mansion, a huge house on a cliff overlooking the ocean. Poof, and there it was, a fabulous mansion overlooking the ocean. He couldn't believe it. He was just tickled pink, and he said, wow. I wish for my second wish, for a convertible BMW. And there it was, boom, right there, right then. In the driveway of his mansion, he sat in the driver's seat. Man, it was real leather. It was a convertible. It was wonderful. He starts it up. It purrs like a kitten. And he goes down the road and begins to drive along the beach playing with his car. He flicks on the quadraphonic stereo system, finds an oldies station, and that classic old commercial comes on. He just sings along with it happily. I wish I was an Oscar Mayer wiener. Boom! I love that story. Because you see, I think that's what would happen to me. I would end up being a hot dog. What would you wish for? If the Lord said, whatever you want, I'll do it for you. Solomon, there at Gibeon that night, in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, what did he do? Solomon said, Lord, I ask of you wisdom. I need to know how to go out and come in amongst these, your people. Solomon, by God's grace, was given the wisdom to ask for wisdom. This young king who had tremendous responsibility suddenly placed upon him, a very difficult obligation looming before him, knew that he needed wisdom. Good answer, Solomon. God thought so too. You see, the father said to Solomon, Solomon, because you have not asked for wealth or for fame, or for victory over your enemies, or for length of days, but you have asked for wisdom, Solomon, I will grant unto you wisdom greater than any other man. And God says, I'm also going to give to you wealth more than any other person has enjoyed. And I'm going to give to you fame. Your name will be spoken around the world. And I'm going to give to you victory over your enemies. And I'm going to give you length of days. In other words, by asking for wisdom, Solomon got all the other stuff thrown in. Why is that? Keep a finger here in James chapter 1 and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 8. Now, Proverbs is in the middle of your Bible, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, so it's sort of right there about in the middle. In Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom is crying out. Wisdom is speaking. Wisdom is personified as a woman, and listen to what she has to say. Verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She stands in the top of high places, by the way in the place of the paths. She cries at the gates, verse 3, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, wisdom says. My voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be of an understanding heart. Why? Listen to what wisdom has to say. Verse 11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom. By me, verse 15, wisdom says, kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Verse 17, wisdom says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Those that seek wisdom early in life, or early in the day, or early in the situation that's troubling them. I love them, wisdom says, that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches, verse 18, and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue better than choice silver. I lead, verse 20, in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. I will fill their treasures. Wisdom cries out. And wisdom says, those that love me and seek me, I love. And I'll make myself known unto him or unto her. And they will have durable riches and treasures and substance of life. You see, a person who walks wisely will be a rich person, a substantial person, a successful person. Wisdom is the key. Wisdom cries out to simple men. The word simple there basically means, like you and me, dumb, unsophisticated, naive, common. People that are just like you, just like me. Wisdom cries out and says, come. And man, I will cause you, if you walk with me, to have riches and success in all that you do. Well, you say, John, how do we get that wisdom? If it's true that wisdom, Proverbs chapter 8, brings blessing, how do we get it? Our text today says to you and to me, if any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask only of God, who gives to all men liberally, generously. Hey, you say, well, what does that mean, ask of him? In Solomon's day, in Old Testament times, suppose you needed wisdom. Should I marry him or not? Should I take that job? Should I make that move? I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. What would you do? What could you do? What options are available to you? Here it is. You could go to Jerusalem or to Shiloh or to Gibeon at other times in their history where the high priest would be. And you'd say, Mr. High Priest, I've got a problem. I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to go. Would you help me? And the high priest would do something amazing. You see, the high priest in his garmentry, as a part of his vestures or clothing, had a thing called the breastplate. The breastplate was a pouch-like object folded over that was placed upon the chest of the high priest. On the breastplate were stones. 12 gems, 12 stones, each stone representing one of the tribes of Israel. There were 12 tribes, 12 stones in lines, in place upon the breast of the high priest, the breastplate. And the high priest, according to Exodus 28, verse 30, if you had a need for wisdom or direction personally, Or if the people congregationally were wondering what they should do, the high priest would consult the Urim and the Thummim. The what and the what? The Urim and the Thummim. U-R-I-M, Urim, and Thummim. T-H-U-M-M-I-M. What's the Urim and the Thummim? We can't say dogmatically, but we do know what the words mean. Urim means light. Thummim means perfection. Lights or light and perfection. Perfect light. Perfect light to give you direction. He would consult the Urim and the Thummim, that is, consult God through the Urim and the Thummim, and give light, perfection, direction for you. How did that work? It would seem as though the way it worked was this. The stones on the breastplate that was linked to the Urim and the Thummim, lights and perfection, the stones would light up, evidently. Each stone would light in a certain way, and each stone represented a given tribe. You would take the first letter of that tribe as they began to flash on the breastplate of the high priest. And from the letters that flashed, you would put together a word like, go for it. Or, idiot. Or, don't. Or whatever it might be. I don't know exactly how it worked, but the lights would shine through and give you perfect direction. Lights and perfection. Kind of handy. I mean, that'd be kind of neat to go and say, okay, Lord, should I make that move? Should I ask her out? Should I buy that car? Lights flashing, you know, and you get perfect direction. The problem is this, though. Only the high priest had the Urim and the Thummim, the breastplate. So anytime you had a question, you would have to go all the way to Jerusalem and get an appointment with the high priest. You see, it wasn't an easy thing to do. It wasn't a convenient way to get wisdom. There's a better way for you and for me to get perfect light. You see, in our day, we know what the lights and the perfection, the Urim and the Thummim, speak of. Jesus came to you and Jesus came to me and said, I am the light of the world. And He is the perfect one who reveals God's will perfectly. He is light. He is perfection. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, it says, in Him, Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's not the Urim and the Thummim on some religious leader. It's the one who is light and is perfection. Okay, right, so, you may say. What does that mean practically? All wisdom is in the one who is the light of the world? All wisdom is in this one who's perfect. Okay, I buy that. But John, do I buy the car or not? What does that mean practically? How am I going to get God's heart and get God's direction practically? Here's the deal. Urim, Thummim, light's perfection. Jesus Christ fulfilling the type perfectly. And I go to Him who is wisdom personified, wisdom incarnate. And I do what James 1 says. I ask, Lord, what should I do in this situation? And then what, John? How does He flash you perfect light? Three ways. Jot them down, please, if you're a note taker. First of all, He flashes His light, His direction, through His people, number one. Through His people. You see, keep in mind, in the Urim and the Thummim, the breastplate that was on the chest of the high priest, it was God's people, the 12 tribes, that were flashing the message. Are you with me? It was the stones that represented God's people. God's people are likened unto gems. In fact, the scripture says that we, God's people, are jewels in his crown. You may say, wait a minute, hold on a second. God's people, you mean the folks that I'm sitting by, surrounded by right here? They're not jewels to me. But on the heart of our high priest, in his perspective, we are just that, gems and jewels. And he chooses to use people. How do I know? Mark this verse down. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. The word fall there is literally stumble as in the darkness. Where there is no counsel, the people stumble. They trip around. There's not perfect light. But he goes on to say, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I like that. You see, I wonder what I should do. And I talk with my brothers. I share the problem or the burden with people that I'm linked to, God's people. And sometimes it's amazing. Man, the message comes through a multitude of counselors, other brothers. Boom, there's the light. Shining through his people. It's amazing. It says that where there is no counsel, no sharing, no fellowship, the people stumble in the darkness. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Direction. Hey, through God's people. Secondly, I get light, perfect light, in God's Word. Psalms 150. You know the scriptures. Psalm 150, the psalmist says this. Thy Word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do you get light, perfect light? Thy Word is a lamp and a light. Psalm 119. Did I say 150? Psalm 119, 105. And then over in verse 130 of the same psalm, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. I can't tell you how many times I wonder what I should do. I wonder which way to go. And I'll tune in to K Apple. And some guy is sharing from the Word. And it speaks directly to my situation. Or I'll open up the Word in my morning devotional time. And I'm amazed. The Word gives perfect light to me. The Word of God. I'll pick up a commentary, a devotional. And I'll read it and there it is, man. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Number three, not only do we get this perfect light through God's people and in God's Word, but we also have it placed upon our hearts. What? Upon our hearts. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 31, the Lord says, I'm going to do a new covenant, a new work in your midst. No one will need to say, know the Lord, for every man shall know me, for I will write my will upon the tables of your heart. No longer tables of stone outwardly, but I'm going to write my will upon your heart. I'm going to give you personal impressions, personal directions. How does that happen? Jot this down, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Paul picks up the same concept. And he says, let the peace of Christ, the peace, P-E-A-C-E, not, yeah, peace of Christ, peace, rule in your heart. And the word rule there is a great and interesting word. It's a word that's linked to sports. It describes officiating, or if you would, umpiring. The peace of Christ will rule in your hearts, umpire in your hearts. How so? You'll know, you see. Should I take her out? Lord, what should I do? And in your heart, safe or out, you see. The umpire will let you know. It's the peace of Christ in your heart. The peace of Christ will rule in you, you see, giving you light, direction, Urim, Thummim. Now, I find that these three things work together very, very harmoniously. Through God's people, there is safety. In God's word, there is light. And upon my heart, He'll write His will. Now you say, okay, now let me get this straight, John. So what you're saying is, I can know whether I should make that move or take that job or date that girl by just asking of the Lord, and then He'll make it known to me, perhaps through His people or in the Word or upon my heart? Well, yes, if, James 1, back to our text, says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask only of God, who gives to all men generously, readily, happily. But here's the kicker. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For the man who doesn't ask in faith, the double-minded man, James says in our text, is like a wave of the sea being tossed to and fro. Let not that man expect to receive any wisdom. What does it mean then to ask in faith? Turn with me and stay with me here, folks. This is enlightening, at least for me. Turn with me to Proverbs and we'll see exactly what it means. Chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. I love to see Bibles turning and verses being underlined. That's good. I commend you for that. In Proverbs 11, watch this, and we understand what James means in James 1 when he says, God will give you wisdom. He'll direct you, but you got to ask in faith, nothing wavering, no double-mindedness. Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Do you need guidance? Sure you do. What can we do? It says the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Now, the word integrity in the Hebrew is tumah, T-O-O-M-A-H. T-O-O-M-A-H. So what, you say? It is the same root word that we get, from that. It's the same basic word as thummim. Tumah, thummim, it's the same word. In other words, the thummim, the perfection, the direction, comes from integrity. Thummim, direction, integrity are linked together. What? What does the word integrity mean? It means integrated. It means single. You're not divided. You're not double-minded. Your heart is single. Your heart is not divided. It's integrated. To do what? To say this, Lord, I want to know your will, not so that I can decide whether or not to go through with it. That's a double-minded man. Let not that man expect to receive anything. My heart is single. In integrity, Lord, I come to you, asking of you for direction, for light, and perfection. I want to do whatever you tell me to. That's what I will do. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. It's the same idea found in James 1. Ask, I'll give to you generously, James 1 says, but don't be double-minded. You see, on Thursday night, we were driving up to the 55 Live gig up on the mountaintop. Great, great group of people. I recommend you getting involved if you're in that age category. Great group. We were driving up, and Benny, who's in the back seat, Benny's my second grader. He says, Daddy, I know what I should do when I grow up. I know what I want to do when I grow up. What's that, Ben? I need to be a preacher, just like you. And I smiled and I said, Benny, that's great. Yep, that's what I need to be. That's what I'm supposed to be. That's what I'm going to be, a preacher, just like you, Daddy. Benny, if God has that for you, you will find a great life in just sharing the word and praying for folks. It's wonderful if that's what God has for you. Yep. He said, I'm going to be a preacher. He said, but first I might play 1 year of pro basketball. And I cracked up and I thought, man, that's classic. But first I might play 1 year of pro basketball, then I'll get right to it, Daddy. That's me. That's what I do. Father, you tell me what to do, man, and I'm going to go that way, maybe, or eventually, or perhaps, Lord. Hey, that's the double-minded man. That's the lack of integrity. Integrity means you're integrated, you're single in purpose and heart. You say, Father, I'm not just interested curiously what you're recommending to me. Father, I'm committed to do what you tell me to. That man will receive wisdom. If you ask about finances, you will get wisdom if you do what he tells you to, even if it might be painful or sacrificial or seemingly illogical. If a man or a woman approaches the Father, he will give liberally, generously, if you ask in faith, nothing wavering. A double-minded man, a guy that's not sure if he's really going to follow through, let not that man expect to receive anything from the Lord as far as direction, wisdom. You say, well, John, if I hear you right then, you're saying that God will give wisdom to me if I just ask of Him as long as I will do what He tells me to? Yep. And you're saying that He gives me this perfect light, lights and perfection, through His people and in His Word, and He places it upon my heart. Is that what you're saying? Yep. Well, John, here's the problem. What if the people that I'm talking to, his so-called gems, give me a bum steer? Or what if I'm reading the Bible, John, I love the Word, but I read it and sometimes I misinterpret it. Or what if, John, my heart that I'm listening to, that he's supposed to be umpiring in, what if I just can't figure it out and I go in the wrong direction? One more passage of Scripture. Listen, if you have a single heart, a heart of integrity, and you want to know His will, that you'll follow through in it, whatever it might be, the integrity of your heart shall guide you. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 20. Now, Genesis is the first book in the Bible, so you can flip there like a scholar. Genesis chapter 20. The key is integrity. Tuma, thumum. Perfection, direction comes from a heart that is integrated. The integrity of the heart shall guide them. Now watch this story. Abraham, verse 1 of chapter 20. He was journeying in the area of Gerar. And Abraham, verse 2, said of Sarah, his wife, "She's my sister." And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Abraham, it's a story that you know well, said, "Man, honey, you're beautiful." And when Abimelech gets word of your beauty, he'll have me killed to take you into his harem. So, honey, when the boys from Abimelech's house come, just say that you're my sister. They might take you away, but at least I'll stay alive." And Sarah said, "Okay." And sure enough, they came, and "She's my sister," he said. And Abimelech heard and said, "Great. Bring her into my house, man. She'll be part of my family, part of my harem." So off she goes. Abraham waves goodbye as Sarah is being taken away, his wife that day. But in verse 3, God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, "Bimmy, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, she is another man's wife." Now the idea of being dead here doesn't mean I'm going to kill you physically. It means you are dead sexually. Here he is with this beautiful woman that he just brought into his harem, and he has no interest in her. There's no passion whatsoever. He's dead romantically, passionately, sexually. He goes to sleep and no doubt wondering what the deal might be, and God says, "You're a dead man physically in that way because you've taken another man's wife today." Now, Abimelech, verse 4, had not come near to her, touched her. And he said, "Lord, will you slay also a righteous nation? Lord, are you going to kill our whole country?" For you see, the whole country was experiencing the same problem. All of the men lost passion, interest, totally. So the nation would then die out, obviously, if this problem wasn't taken care of. There'd be no little guys running around, you see. "Are you going to kill the whole nation?" He goes on to say in verse 5, "Said Abraham not unto me?" Didn't Abraham say to me, "She is my sister"? And she herself said, "He is my brother." Watch this. "In the integrity, tuma, of my heart, I have done this." This is the first time integrity is mentioned in the Bible. Now watch this. "I did this in the integrity of my heart." My heart was single. I wasn't trying to be tricky. I wasn't vacillating. I was trying to do what's right. I didn't know that she was some other man's wife. I did this in the integrity of my heart. And watch what the Lord says in verse 6. "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I allowed thee not to touch her." I know that you did this in integrity, that your heart was right. That's why I didn't allow you to touch her. That's why I brought this situation upon you, that you wouldn't touch her. You see, what's being said here is wonderful. God is saying, "Abimelech, you made a mistake, but your heart was right, so I protected you in the decision that you made, and I'm giving correction to you in the situation right now." What's that saying? I ask of God to give me wisdom. He gives me light and perfection through the one who is light, the perfect one, Jesus Christ, through his people, in his word, and he writes it on my heart. And if I'm not hearing correctly, even if I make a wrong decision, if my heart is right, the Lord says, I will protect you and I will correct you, just like he did with Abimelech. That's the promise. Even if you launch out and the direction isn't right, guess who's going to come through for you? Abimelech. God says, I didn't allow you to follow through. It was not right, and I protected you. That's what God will do for me, for you, if we ask of him. And then we just go and say, okay, Lord, from your word, through your people, on my heart, it seems that this is what you're saying, and I'm going to go in that direction, knowing, Lord, that the integrity of the upright shall guide them. And if it's wrong, Lord, that you'll bring correction. So I don't have to be paralyzed, wondering what to do. So many people never move out because of the paralysis of analysis. They're always analyzing, constantly. Well, what if I'm not hearing right? Or what if that's not correct? And they don't do anything. If your heart is right, and you've asked of God, then move out, knowing this, that he will protect you, even if you are moving in the wrong direction. Now, listen very carefully as we close this session. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, generously. But here's the kicker. You have to ask in integrity. That is, your heart has to be integrated, single, saying, Lord, whatever you direct, that's what I'll do. John, what does that mean for me today? Simply this. As you pray today, do what you know, and you'll know what to do. I want to say that again. Do what you know, and you'll know what to do. Do what you know, folks, and you'll know what to do. You see, you're doing that right now. What do you mean? You know that you should be in fellowship Sunday morning, studying the Word. You're doing what you know. When the afternoon comes, you'll know what to do. I don't know about tomorrow for me. You see, Jerusalem is in chaos and there's churning going on. And I don't know about next month and next year. But I know what I'm supposed to do today. I'm supposed to be here sharing with you. So I do what I know today, and you know what happens? When tomorrow comes, I'll know what to do. When next month comes, I'll know then. If you do what you know, you'll know what to do. If you're in fellowship, if you're here as you are with your families because you say, I know this is what I should do. I should be in the Word with my families, worshiping the Lord. Hey, you're doing what you know. You'll know what to do. And you're not going to be messed up, folks, because the Lord will come through with protection, with correction if need be. He'll see you through. It's very simple. Do what you know and you'll
know what to do.
If you do what you what?
Know.
You'll
know what to do.
If you do, you'll
know.
Folks, if
you do what you know, you'll know what to do.
So do what you know, and you'll
know what to do.
And what do you know? If you lack wisdom, if any man lack wisdom, let him what?
Ask.
Who gives to all men? But let him ask in
faith.
Nothing
wavering.
So if you do that, then you'll be doing what you know, and you'll then
know what to do.
If you if you do what you know, you'll know what to do. It's true. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I'm so grateful that you have not left us in the dark. Your ways are certainly different than what sometimes our flesh wants or what we think we need. But you've chosen, Father, to work in wonderful ways through your people. Solid ways in your word. Mysterious ways riding upon our hearts. Father, I know that these days are days when many of us just desperately need direction and wisdom. And you've invited us to come to you and just ask, and if we ask with integrity, that you will give us generously. So this morning, Father, we embrace the scripture. And I just thank you that I can trust you, that we can trust you, that even if we are moving in a wrong direction, that even as you did with Abimelech, who was not even one of your children, but you moved in and corrected him. And I thank you, Father, for being that kind of God, that you just move in and make those necessary corrections. How that gives my heart peace today. How I pray, Lord, that we would be a people who, in these last days, walk wisely. May many people here, Father, this morning, experience the richness, the quality of life, the wealth in the things of the kingdom that are all tied up and follow this thing called wisdom. May wisdom, Father, be embraced. May your Son, who is wisdom, truly be the Lord of our lives this day. Now grant those that are struggling, may there be light today for them. May they just do what they already know to do. And then, Lord, I just thank you that you're going to come through. You always do. And I bless you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.